On the Travel Guys,
we take you all the way to New Orleans to the famous French Quarter, where Marcus spent the weekend pigging out, I should say sampling, some of the country's best roadie food.
But first, coming up next in the travel news, looks like Delta and Alaska are trying to break up, and it's not good news for frequent flyers.
And coming up at 3:50 this afternoon in the entertainment segment, we ask those of you interested in the cultural arts in the Sacramento area to show your support in a very important way.
Lots of food, fun, and great people. A real slice of Americana. Live from New Orleans, we're letting the good times roll next on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano in studio. Mark Kaufman with Sports Leisure Vacations, all the way in New Orleans, enjoying some great food. It is Food Fest 2014 in New Orleans. Mark made the journey. Poor guy had to suffer on behalf of all of us and go and eat some pretty scrumptious food. I have a wonderful list that we'll share with you throughout the afternoon. Good afternoon, Mark. I understand the weather there in New Orleans is, as we were talking earlier, some of the best you've ever run across.
Oh, Thomas, you know, New Orleans is always known for its humidity. And people down here in New Orleans say you don't sweat, you glisten, if you're the proper Southerner. But New Orleans today, there's nobody glistening today. The temperature is in the low 70s. You'd never know that humidity ever existed in New Orleans today. And after a very rainy Friday and a somewhat humid Saturday, Sunday has come with it is truly the most spectacular day that I have ever seen in the Crescent City. It is phenomenal.
Awesome. Now, how was the crowds for Food Fest this year?
Oh, my goodness. If anybody listens to this and says, hey, you know, I've been thinking about going to New Orleans, I'm going to try to hit that next year in March. You have to go early. The key is it starts at 11 o'clock every morning, and by about 12:30 or 1. New Orleans is a city that, because of the French Quarter, Tom, you know, it wakes up kind of late in the morning. And but when it wakes up, it really wakes up together. So if you're up and around prowling about it at the ungodly hour of the morning or 10:30 or 11, you really are the early bird. But by noon, the line at the Café du Monde down in the French Quarter to get fresh beignets stretches. Yesterday, it was an hour and a half long. I asked a man who was just walking out with his beignets how long he had waited in the to-go line, and he said an hour and a half. So
Wow. There you go. Well, I'll tell you what. What we're going to do is we're going to get the travel news out of the way, which we do at the beginning of every one of our travel shows, and then we're going to dive into some of the fine foods and activities that you've been partaking in. Okay, so for our listeners, let's go ahead and fire up the band there, and Mark, what you got in today's travel news?
Well, today in the travel news, Thomas, if you all remember, there was a TSA agent that got shot and killed in Los Angeles a few months back in last November. The Transportation and Security Administration is recommending a beefed up police presence at TSA checkpoints and ticket counters during busy times at some airports, the agency said in a report released last week. The review, which was compiled after the November 2013 shooting at LAX, listed 14 recommendations to improve safety and security at the nation's airports, including a call for an increased law enforcement presence and more active shooter training, in addition to giving TSA employees more briefing on TSA safety procedures. Thomas, you know who Richard Branson is, right?
Of course.
Okay. The crazy billionaire who has really been a man who has really blazed a lot of trails. He's going into the cruise ship business, it appears. He has a $1.7 billion worth of funding, and it looks as though he is about to launch plans to build his first two cruise ships.
Now, is cruise ships going to have his influence?
Yeah, it'll have, I guess, the Virgin brand is the plan for it. So we should, we'll see more in the months ahead. But now that he has, the money, I would say with that man, pretty much anything he wants to do, he seems to be able to accomplish. Speaking of people who have accomplished things, some folks are gathering in Hawaii, next week. And some former Pan Am employees, they are folks who worked for Pan Am Airlines, which went out of business in December of 1991. So almost a quarter of a century ago. I have had a lady who worked for me for some time, Diana Nolan, who was a flight attendant for Pan Am. And so I wonder if she'll be attending this. But they gather every year, Tom, all the former Pan Am employees. I don't know of any other carrier that does this, but they gather in Hawaii and they have a Pan Am Aloha celebration. Imagine that.
Wow. Now that's going to be the same time you're going to be over on the islands.
It is kind of the same time, but this is something that these folks have done. They get together and exchange stories and talk about the old airline days and stuff like that. It's really quite an amazing get-together every year. All right, shifting to airline news now. Let's talk about the last three stories in the news. All involve Delta Airlines. As we mentioned to you earlier, Delta Airlines has been in kind of a wonderful situation. Alaska Airlines, for a lot of years, those of us who fly a lot have had this situation where you could fly on American or Delta Airlines and credit your miles to Alaska. So you really could feed 3 miles into one. Once you got your elite status with Alaska Airlines, it would be accepted at Delta and American. So it was sort of a way of combining miles. Now it looks like Delta, who's moving into Alaska's hub airport in Seattle with a vengeance, it looks like Delta and Alaska are about to have a little breakup. Delta announced last week that baggage-free waivers and priority boarding and security express lanes and some of the things like that are going to go away for the Alaska flyers. Alaska, in turn, does this sound like a story that's been in the news lately?
Oh, yeah.
Alaska, in turn, said, well, then, if you're not going to do that for our people, then we're not going to do that for your people either. So it appears as though Delta and Alaska are about that wonderful arrangement that helped frequent flyers for so many years, it looks like, is about perhaps to go away. And finally, Delta Airlines, in an interesting story out of Seattle, they apparently are attaching tags to all the bags that come out of to the luggage carousel. You know how your bag comes out? They're attaching a tag to it that says, your bag would have flown free if you had a Delta credit card.
Really?
Apparently what this is doing is it's taking extra time for the bags to get on the luggage carousel, meaning people are now waiting 35, 40 minutes for these Delta bags only to have them arrive with this wonderful little promotional tag on them, and people are wondering if their bags wouldn't be arriving sooner if Delta wasn't taking the time to put promotional tags on all the people who had paid luggage.
Yeah, do you think maybe we could talk them into putting a little note there that says, listen to the Travel Guys on KFBK Sundays at 3.
You think? And let's give Delta a little bit of kudos here, although I don't know how much they have to do with this. This is probably more American Express. If you have a Delta Airlines American Express card and you travel internationally, I have some good news for you. Starting the 1st of May, your Delta American Express credit card will no longer charge a foreign exchange rate, which used to cost you 2.7% every time you spent money outside of the country. So that has been a benefit that has been accruing to a number of credit cards recently. Add Delta's American Express card to the list of those that does not charge you fees when you travel internationally. And that, Thomas, is the travel news from New Orleans for today.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK. By the way, go to travelguysradio.com. You can take a look at some of the fabulous food that Mark has been picking out on. I'm going to stick with that. Miss Linda's Yakamain is there. And gosh, there's the Polish bacon dogs and so much more. It's Mark live from... Say it for me, Mark. It's not New Orleans, is it?
No, it's if you're down here, it's Nolans. N-A-W-L-A-N apostrophe S, Nolans.
Does anybody correct folks that don't get it right?
No. People here are way too nice for that. That is, you know, that's another thing, Tom. It's for folks who haven't, if you've only been to New Orleans a couple times in your life, people tend to divide it into pre-Katrina and post-Katrina, and all I could say is that the only real sign of Katrina here is that if you're high up in a hotel like I am, you can see that everybody has new air conditioning and heating units on the tops of all the old buildings, which is a definite sign that there was a huge storm here at some point in time. But otherwise, New Orleans looks kind of like New Orleans always has. It's never going to be the most sparkling city on the planet, but the people here are so nice. The food here is so good. The hospitality is so good. And, I was here Friday and Saturday night, and while I kept a little bit of my distance, I was out there for a while, and I can tell you that the good times still roll on Bourbon Street on a pretty regular basis.
That's awesome. Okay, coming up after our short break, we've got Mark's going to mosey on out and talk to some of our special guests. I understand, Mark, you're going to spend some time with the guy that actually is responsible for this food fest coming to New Orleans. Is that correct?
Yeah, the man who wrote the first book about road food, and back in the late 70s, really kind of started this whole movement and said he's the guy who created this festival half a dozen years ago. We've got him, and he also tells us about a really special lady who had a wonderful dish that I had an opportunity to sample some great road food, and we've got her on with us too, so don't go anyplace.
All that coming up next right here on the Sunday edition of the Travel Guys. Riding on the city. Ah, smothered rabbit po' boys, banana Foster bread pudding, pheasant and quail gumbo. No, it's only a small list. All the great food that Mark is enjoying at the what is known as the Food Fest of American Eats in New Orleans going on right now. Mark's there. Got a lot of great interviews lined up with us, and we're going to start off with Mark getting a chance to visit with someone who has written a book and is somewhat responsible for the Food Fest originating in New Orleans. Let's check in with Mark. Mark?
Tom, I'm here with Michael Stern. Michael is the author of Road Food, and he is sort of the chairman, the man in charge, as he said. When I asked him earlier what he was, he said human being. This is a good place to be a human being today because the weather is very nice after a deluge overnight, and there's stuff to buy and there's stuff to eat. Michael, tell us about the Food Fest.
Well, it's an especially good day to be a very hungry human being because what Food Fest is a couple of dozen vendors from all around the country serving their unique regional specialties. You know, it's not typical fair food. It's not funnel cakes and all that stuff. I mean, we have Texas barbecue, we have Memphis ribs, we have Gus's fried chicken. It's great specialties from all over the place. So if you really like to eat, this is the place to be.
It looks like it's going to be a really fun weekend, and there's a lot of enthusiasm among the folks that are here. Last night, there was a very nice event at the Cafe Reconcile. It was really a nice event. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, the subtitle of this festival in general is America's Hometown Eats, and what we do is kick it off on Friday night with an event called America's Hometown Sweets. And for that, we get great desserts and sweet things from all around the country. And people, I can't remember what people pay, but they pay to get in. All the profits go to Cafe Reconcile.
My goodness, there were probably a couple of dozen really great desserts. I finally quit after about an hour because I was starting to get a sugar overload.
It's really tough at that event as well as at the festival in general. You've got to ration your appetite because, you know, you come across like the most delicious bread pudding with praline sauce you could ever imagine eating. And how do you just have a couple of bites so you save appetite for the chocolate-covered key lime pie? It's tough. It's really tough.
That was where I put my ticket, by the way, last night, was at the bread pudding. We were all given a ticket in which to honor whichever thing in the building we thought was the best. And that bread pudding with the praline sauce, that was pretty phenomenal.
And in fact, that won that was the choice event. And they got the award for best dessert at the whole event, which is quite amazing.
Yeah, it was a very nice event. So hundreds of folks are going to show up here. you've done this before.
This is the sixth year.
There's no charge for people to get into this, except that you have to pay. You pay for your food along the way. Folks are telling me the food is served in not sample size portions, but more workable size portions, so you can sample more things.
We've asked all the vendors to try to keep it relatively small. I mean, the fact is, you know, we have several po' boy vendors, you know, the right. Great New Orleans sandwich, and a full size po' boy is like a foot and a half long. You eat one of those, you have no appetite left for anything else. So we've asked all the vendors to keep the portions moderate size, so people can avail avail themselves of as many different things as possible.
Michael, how did you get involved in all of this? Obviously, you wrote a book, but I mean, maybe it goes back that far. But where does your interest in road food come from?
The original edition of Road Food was published in 1978, if you can believe that. And that came about because I got a wonderful college degree and an advanced graduate degree, and decided after all of that, to my parents' dismay, to hit the road and explore America, you know, like Jack Kerouac. That was my idea. While exploring America, I kept, you know, winding up at these interesting little small town cafes and truck stops and out of the way eateries. And I was thinking, man, this is really interesting, good food. I hadn't traveled much before that. I thought, I got to find a guidebook that will tell me where to get, you know, the best catfish in Mississippi or the best huckleberry pie in Montana. And I looked and looked, and there was no guidebook. And I thought, well, maybe I should write one. And that was how it came. Actually, my wife and I, Jane Stern, wrote it together. And the first one was 1978. The ninth edition just came out in 2014.
Wow. As somebody who spends a lot of his time on the road and particularly enjoys off-the-beaten-track places, to go to Abilene, Kansas, and go to the Brookfield Hotel and have the chicken dinner, or to go to, speaking of chicken, to go to Delray's Chicken Basket off of Route 66 in Chicago. I was walking by. I saw something, a smothered rabbit poor boy there.
Yeah, I haven't tried that yet. I mean, that's new this year, a smothered rabbit po' boy. Actually, there are a lot of new dishes this year. I'm looking forward to that one.
It's, what would you say is the most unusual thing that has been served here in previous years at the Food Fest?
Well, they're here again this year. It's the Yaka Main Lady from New Orleans. Yeah, I had never heard of Yaka Main before. She served it at last year's. Well, it's allegedly, this is good to know, because it is allegedly a sure cure for hangovers.
What an appropriate place to serve it.
Exactly. It's kind of a noodle soup, very healthful, with noodles and beef or shrimp, whichever you want. Kind of like ramen noodles.
Right.
But way healthier and delicious. So I had never heard of it. It's apparently a kind of New Orleans thing.
Are there awards given out today? And I know there was an award last night for best dessert. Are there awards given out today or anything? Or these folks are just here to share their stuff and make a buck?
They're here to show off what they do best. And so there are no formal awards. But we've got a lot of repeat vendors, because I think in the years past, not only have they made money, but, you know, people taste something they've never tasted before, and they're going, wow, oh my gosh, this is so great. I mean, if you're a food vendor or a food chef, how great is it to hear that time after time?
Well, and the reason I'm here is because I've read those things written by your online gang over the years, and seen the pictures and saw all the fun that people were having down here. And so I decided finally that I needed to be here for myself. I look forward to spending the day gorging myself on all kinds of yummy things. Good luck to you with the fest this year. And looks like everybody's raring to go, and even the weather's going to give you a break.
I'm starving. Great talking to you, Mark.
Thank you, Michael.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, and let's take a second while Mark wanders over to hook up with Miss Linda. We got to find out more about this Yaka Main, and one of the most original and tastiest dishes in Yowlands. Let's check in with Mark.
All right, Tom, I'm here with Miss Linda. Miss Linda, tell me, you are the Yaka Main Lady?
I am the Yaka Main Lady.
Michael just told me this is the most unusual thing that's been served. I asked him, what's the most unusual thing that's ever been served? He said, not only is the most unusual thing, but it's one of the best things
that's
ever been served here. Tell me what this wonderful dish is.
It is called Yaka Main, and I tell him it's one of New Orleans' well best kept secret, okay? And it derives from, they say, the career soldiers, and we gone with the Chinese American, and it always have been in the black community.
Wow. What does it consist of?
Okay, it consists of spaghettis, boneless chuck roast, green onion, and the hard barley, but it's really about the juice. That's what it's about, the juice, the broth. Once I put the broth into the cup, it flavors everything into the cup. That's what it's all about, that broth.
And you got a beautiful picture of it here.
I have a beautiful
on. And tray after tray after tray of it behind you. Mm-hmm. That you're going to serve all these. The lines already starting to form, honey.
They are, I know. And there you have it, right there, in my kitchen in New Orleans East. I'm doing that.
Wow. So is this the only thing that you make, or you make lots of
stuff? No, today I'm serving shrimp and crab meat dressing. That's another one. And I do that at Po' Boy Festival. I do the Yaka Main at Jazz Festival. So y'all come on out and Get down with Miss Linda.
All right. Thank you, Miss Linda, for
thank
a couple minutes of your
so
time.
Much.
The line is already
tell
forming here.
I say thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
It's all about, Mark, is it true? Is it all about the juice?
Oh, Thomas, I just got to tell you, that was, it's kind of like chow mein made with spaghetti with turned into a soup. I don't know about its powers for bringing you back from the dead on the morning after, but it sure was a yummy start to lunch yesterday. I started with yucca main, and then I went to one of Gus's famous fried chicken pieces. I went with a wing because I thought that would be more conservative, and then I went and got a bacon fried and topped Polish dog, not just a Polish dog with bacon with it, but one that's been fried in bacon grease
It
absorbs all of the goodness and flavor town type, if I were Guy Fieri. But anyways, and then I got two salted caramel pops, and right after that I got a really bad stomach ache. So today decided to be a little bit more conservative today. Started out, this guy that sells the salted caramel pops sells strawberry and basil pops, you know, popsicle ice cream bar things. The salted caramel was fabulous. The strawberry and basil, not so much. But
probably because you ate it last.
That could have something to do with it. Anyway, you got news to do, and then we're going to find out all about the charity in New Orleans that benefits most from the food fest out here for two and a half days, and talk to a guy who brought some great barbecue all the way from Texas.
Awesome. That's right here on the Travel Guys, Mark in New Orleans, Tom Romano in studio at KFBK. I got to give me one of those foot and a half long po' boys. Good thing they cut down the size of some of the food there so you could have like more than one thing. You could always share it with four or five people, I guess. Huh? I'm Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Check the news and we'll be back. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman's in New Orleans, Tom Romano in studio, and we have a live broadcast today from the Food Fest in New Orleans, and it all got underway with a very special, well, kind of a dessert American fest, if you will, on Friday, a little fundraiser, something really out of the ordinary. Let's check in with Mark and get details.
Tom, I'm here with Rudy Rayfield of the Cafe Reconcile. Am I saying that right, Rudy?
Absolutely.
Okay, and I think this might be the most interesting story of this whole thing. It started on Friday night with an event at your cafe, so to speak, and which is a two-floor facility with a bunch of dessert samples and things like that. It was a for-profit charity event. It was a benefit event.
Yep.
I'm hoping there were enough people there to make a buck?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was.
And it was a wonderful event, the variety of desserts and stuff like that. Immediately, though, when I got there and I started reading about the cafe and what your mission is and what you're all about, being in the hospitality industry and a tour operator myself who uses hotels and restaurants and stuff every day, I found your story fascinating. Please tell our listeners a little bit about the cafe and its mission.
Well, Cafe Reconcile is a nonprofit organization that trained disadvantaged youth in the community in a skill of hospitality. We teach them life skills. We teach them front of the house, back of the house training, banquet and catering training. But most of all, just giving them the support to be able to, you know, deal with life's issues.
Now, are these kids who maybe have already stumbled once? Are these kids who just are looking for a break? Where do your kids come from?
Mostly Central City, but we're finding now, after Katrina, they're coming from all over. But, yeah, just folks who need an opportunity. Some of them do have some current barriers. Some of them have stumbled. But we're giving them a safe haven to be able to just get that next step in life. So
I think it's really amazing because New Orleans is such a hospitality-oriented city. And seeing some of the kids the other night at the event and their manners and the way that they were trained to interact with people and stuff, it was obvious they didn't have a lot of experience doing that. But it was also obvious that somebody was giving them some real direction on how to do it.
Yes, sir.
They were really making an effort. You must be putting some kids into work here.
Well, it all starts with our selection process. Our program staff just do a tremendous job in going out and finding these young folks who not only deserve an opportunity, but want an opportunity to either support their family, get a great start on life. So it starts with our whole assessment and our whole intake process. So it's really kudos to our program staff who
go out. How many kids are involved?
Oh, man. thousands over the last 13 years. But right now we're on our second cycle. So we have a total of 28.
And last of all, how did you get involved with the Food Fest?
Well, the Food Fest, Dottie Belletto and her group, NOCCI, along with Glenn Almentrout, thought it would be a great idea if Cafe Reconcile, with all of the things that we do for the community, find a way to get involved so that we can have a win-win situation for not only Cafe Reconcile, but the Food Fest. Now, I wasn't here for the first year, but you know, it just kicked off after being invited. And now with the suites kickoff being held at Reconcile, it's just another way to introduce people to the organization. But not only that, just give us an opportunity to continue to create an opportunity for young folks. So
how do people support you other than like the event on Friday night?
They can come dine with us. Our restaurant is open Monday through Friday from 11 to 2:30 for lunch. We have
in that same building where we had the event the other night.
Yes, 1631 O.C. Haley, Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. We have an event venue, our Emeril Lagasse Banquet Room, where we can hold events.
This is not a new program. This has been going on for a while.
No, this is, well, it's 16 years total, but 13 years of actually accepting youth and training them. So we went from 2,400 square feet to 17,000 square feet in a little over a year and a half. So we have a big operation over there, and I encourage folks to come see what we're doing.
Congratulations on a successful event Friday night on a program that, as a member of the hospitality industry, makes me kind of excited and proud to be a part of it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Mark in Narlands at the Food Fest. I'm Tom Romano, and one of the things that I've, talking with Mark, have found very interesting, besides all of the dozens and dozens of food vendors that show up for this event that are from Narlands, can you imagine barbecue from Texas? Well, it can happen. Let's check in with Mark, and he'll explain.
Tom, our next guest is Wayne Mueller. Wayne is, it says on his business card, the third generation owner and pitmaster. And Michael Stern here at the Food Fest recommended Wayne. He said he wasn't necessarily recommending you for an interview. I think he was recommending you as a place for me to go get lunch because I came here for lunch yesterday. It was pretty damn good.
Excellent. Well, welcome. We hope a lot of people come down and give us a try today.
It looks pretty amazing. Radio is theater of the mind, so you folks are going to have to take my word for it. Wayne, why all the way to New Orleans with Texas barbecue, and what makes your barbecue special to be here in New Orleans for the Food Fest?
Well, the reason we came initially and the reason we come back every year is because Michael asked us to. Michael's been a very good friend to us over the many years, and he is he's always been a huge ambassador for us. We're here to help support him, his event, and hopefully share some of our food with the people of New Orleans.
Fortunately, New Orleans is a place that's really known for great cuisine, so there's probably as many varieties of po' boys on this block here as you could possibly imagine. Wayne, the whole concept of a food fest built around road food, tell me about your store in Texas. You're a third generation owner. You guys have been doing barbecue for a while.
We have been doing barbecue for a long time. My grandfather began the restaurant as an adjunct to his meat market and his grocery store. Over the years, we've developed a following. My job now is, I think, to sort of evangelize to a greater audience. We're here sort of in conjunction with that. We hope our food registers well with the palates of the people attending the festival.
Excuse my ignorance for a moment, but where is Taylor, Texas?
Taylor, Texas is in central Texas, about 30 miles northeast of Austin. So it's a long haul to get here.
Okay. And you've got a huge buggy here that's probably 20 foot long that's serving as your pit for the weekend, right?
Yes, this is our mobile pit. It'll feed easily 1,500 people in a sit-down. So in a festival like this, we can feed probably up to 5,000 people.
So if you're ever in the greater Austin area, why stop by and see Wayne at Mueller Barbecue, or you can come out to the Food Fest next year in New Orleans. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
I got to have me a po' boy. By the way, Mark, you do know that you got to have one of those foot and a half long po' boys before you come home.
There are more kinds of poor boys here, and I'm talking about the sandwich. It's just well, there's some other poor boys too around town, but it is New Orleans after all. But no, there's poor boys made out of, you mentioned, I didn't get to try the rabbit one. I'm not a huge rabbit fan, but I was going to try to saddle up, you know, with my microphone and because, you know, if you walk around, and this is the great thing, Tom, about walking around with a microphone, people will give you free stuff.
Really?
You know, if you do an interview, like I did with the Yucca Maine lady, like Miss Linda, I did the interview and she says, well, have you tried it yet? And I confessed that I hadn't. And she says, oh, well, you need to try it, honey. And so she fixed me up with some. And then I went down and the brisket guy fixed me up with some.
Oh, my gosh.
The fried chicken guy, I'm just standing there with my microphone. And he says, I don't have time to do an interview now. And I said, oh, well, I was just kind of watching the process. And he says, well, have you sampled our chicken yet? Here. And he hands me a chicken wing. So,
Gus's fried chicken.
Yeah, Gus's famous fried chicken. I'll tell you what, it puts KFC to shame for sure.
I can imagine.
There has really been some fun stuff out here, Tom. Especially the guy with the basil pops and the salted caramel pops, and he had one that was lemon ginger. I didn't quite go there, but a lot of just fun things. And if you can ever hit New Orleans on a day when the weather is like this, my goodness, Sunday morning might be the best time to walk through the French Quarter, because people are sober, the streets are clean. They clean the streets in this French Quarter every night. That's to get rid of the bodies, I think.
Yeah, it's probably a lot like Disneyland at night when everybody is finally gone. They come out with a great big giant fire hose and they just kind of hose everything down, and if there's anybody laying in the street, they just hose them into the gutter, and you wake up the next morning and it's all sparkling clean. And by the way, Mark, the smothered rabbit pull boy, I think, could probably only be smothered by the pheasant and quail gumbo.
Those people who like garlic fries, there was a stand here selling, and get this, Tom, rosemary, parmesan, and garlic fries. And if that wasn't enough, then there was thyme, goat gouda, if you wanted cheese on your garlic fries, and you could have goat gouda and thyme on your garlic fries. So, I mean, for fry snobs, this was the place to be this weekend. But I will tell you, the brisket was really good, but the barbecue pork sliders and the bananas foster bread pudding were two of the most amazing things that I have ever eaten in my life. But Miss Linda's Yucca Maine, if I lived here in New Orleans and I could get to that stuff, I'd be eating that on a regular basis, because she is right. It's all about the broth.
I have to ask you, I know our listeners know that Sports Leisure Vacations takes people on trips all over the world, and in North America particularly. And then, of course, everybody's wondering, is Mark there with a tour? Or is this one of your field trips for a future tour stop?
No, I'm just here. I've always wanted to come to this event. You know how much I love road food and being out and finding those little off-the-beaten-track places. So the idea of a bunch of off-the-beaten-track places assembling in one place where I could sample them all at once is something that I've wanted to try for quite some time. So that's kind of what got me here, I confess, was just the idea, the opportunity to spend some time with some other roadies is how we do it. So, Thomas, after the break, we have an important petition to tell people about in our entertainment section and also session, and also we have a winner, our Sports Leisure Traveler of the Week, to announce in our final segment. And also next week we are going to be live from Hawaii.
All that coming up next right here on, well, every Sunday at 3 o'clock, it's the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
If you
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and as you know, not only do we talk about travel, we also talk about arts and entertainment here in the Sacramento area. Mark, introduce our next guest, if you would.
Our guest, Tom, is John Nicholas. John is a landscape architect and urban planner here in Sacramento. And so the first question that you would have is probably the same as mine, which is, how does an architect and urban planner find himself involved in cultural arts in Sacramento? And this is not John's first rodeo, so I'll let him explain. Welcome to the program, John.
Thanks very much, Mark.
You know, it was kind of fortuitous I got involved in the arts in Sacramento. I'm a fourth-generation Sacramentan. I really care about Sacramento a lot. And in my work, I wanted to do an art fence down the middle of Watt Avenue quite a few years ago now. And by having this idea, it led me to the Arts Commission and to the staff there. And it kind of just went from there, from me being a citizen architect, if you will, to then volunteering with the Arts Commission. And now I'm actually the chair of the Arts Commission. So it's been a really good ride.
Now, John, any funded project, anything that gets money from the government, particularly from city and county governments in recent years, has fallen on hard times because money sources have pretty much dried up in many cases, or the resources have been cut dramatically. With the Sacramento Metropolitan Arts Commission, that is exactly what has happened.
That is very true. We are a city-county joint agency, and we've seen our funding cut by about 80% from 2010 levels. And we used to receive from the city and county about $1.8 million-ish dollars, and now we're getting about $600,000. And so we spread that funding over, I would say, nearly 100 community-based arts organizations, large and small, and all of them have seen their funding from SMAC drop considerably.
It's no secret now that California's budget situation, the state's budget situation is better, which means that local budget situations are better, which means that everybody is lining up to get the money back that they've lost over the last few years, and the Metropolitan Arts Commission is no exception to that. John, how do you go about restoring funds that have been cut through budget austerity in recent years?
Well, we received our funds from city and county from what's called the transient occupancy tax. And that's a tax that is paid by people who stay in hotels in the city and county. And it goes into it's a general fund sort of item within each of the governments. And during the recession or the depths of recession, that funding was directed towards life safety type things, fire, police, things that were drastically vital to keeping our city and county afloat. Now we're seeing those TOT funds rise, and we would like to explore with the electeds the restoration, or at least partial restoration, of some of our funding so that we can go back to doing things that we used to do.
So how do you do that? And more importantly, how do people who are listening to this radio program help you do that?
Well, we are involved in a bit of a lobbying effort right now. We have an online petition through change.org going, and our goal is to collect at least 1,000 signatures of residents of Sacramento City and County to demonstrate to our electeds that the arts, both visual and performing arts, are vital to our region's success and vital to the fabric of our community.
It's time for the folks who are listening to this program to help us out a little bit here. We have lots of cultural arts fans listening to this radio station right now. So what you need to do is go to travelguysradio.com, and there you're going to find a link. Very easy. It'll be right in the write-up of today's program. You'll see a link there to be able to get to the survey and electronically add your name to the survey. It's real simple. Travelguysradio.com. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't commit you to anything. It doesn't put you on anybody's mailing list or email list. It just shows your support for restoring some of the funds that have been cut from some of the cultural arts programs in Sacramento. So I'm kind of hoping that some of you folks out there will do this for as a special favor to all the folks in Sacramento who enjoy cultural arts. Travelguysradio.com. It's real simple, and sign that petition. Does that work for you, John?
That would be excellent. We would be most appreciative. Thank you very much.
Just as I said, everybody is standing in line waiting to get money back. So we need to make sure that cultural arts in this community, we're talking about not only theater, but all types of artisans will have an opportunity to be able to ply their wares in Sacramento. John, thank you very much for your time today. And we'll check back with you in a few weeks and see how things are going.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you guys.
Thank you, John. We are the Travel Guys. And again, the link to get to the petition, simply go to travelguysradio.com. And that's where we have lots of pictures, too, from our Mark's visit to New Orleans. Take a look, and you can see Miss Linda's Yakimane. Mark, any other comments about our interview there with John?
Well, just one thing I do want to mention, Tom, is that if you go to the website right now, that interview was done a couple of days ago. You go to the website right now, 934 people have signed the petition. So wouldn't it be nice if John could come in tomorrow morning and see that 66 more Travel Guys listeners had gone to TravelGuysRadio.com, clicked on that connection, and all you have to do, all they're asking for is your name, your address, and your email address. If you want to donate some money, you can, but that's not really the point of all of this, and it's very simple. They need 66 more signatures to get to 1,000. So I would say this is the opportunity to show them that Travel Guys listeners can move the needle. So please do that if you would for me. Listen, but before we go, Tom, I've got to get our Sports Leisure Traveler of the Week, our winner this week. Each week we pull one winner of all the folks who travel with us during the week. And this week's winner is Vivian Russell. She went with Clayton Whitehead on the Carolinas trip and got back earlier this week. So, Vivian Russell, you have won a $50 travel card. And if you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, that the value of that prize will double to $100. So congratulations to Vivian.
Awesome. I was feel a little bad I couldn't draw the winner today, but my arm isn't long enough to reach all the way to New Orleans.
I asked Mr. Clayton to go in and draw one, and by golly, he said, honest to God, I wasn't cheating. I drew and got a name from one of my trips, so we'll let it go for this time.
Vivian Russell sounds like a famous actress from the the 40s.
It very much does. Speaking of famous people, next week we're going to be over in Hawaii. I will be live from the Royal Lahaina Hotel, which may be a place that may ring a bell with a few people. That hotel has been around a long time. It is what is left of the Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays kingdom, and was once owned by the Hogan family. Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays is probably how a lot of people listening to this broadcast right now made their first trip to Hawaii if they went there in the last 20 or 30 years. But once a huge Hawaiian company now just owns a couple of hotels, and we will have that whole story next week, and I promise you it's rather fascinating, so you'll want to be listening.
Mark, you traveled to New Orleans. You must have had a very interesting time. Let me ask you, how do you get around? What recommendations would you make for people to get around to the city? You know, if you're going to be there for a few days, what kind of transportation would you recommend that they use?
Good point. Parking here is a problem, especially if you're going to roam around the French Quarter. You're not going to want your car. So this is kind of like New York in that I really would tell you, unless you're planning a lot of excursions outside the city, get a taxi from the airport. It's $33 into town. You can get a private car for about twice that, but the taxi cab drivers here are very safe and very friendly. And then use cabs to just get around town. Little $6 and $8 rides around town here will save you lots of money. You won't have the aggravation of having a rental car. And the other thing, remember, when you're getting a hotel in New Orleans, location, location, location. The French Quarter is a place that you're going to be. If that's the case, then you don't really want to be in the quarter because it can be very noisy there, but you want to be on the outside perimeter so that you can have easy access to it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Travel Guys. We'll be back next Sunday at 3 o'clock, broadcasting live from the Royal Lahaina Hotel on Maui. Mark, you have a safe trip home.
Thank you, Thomas. Talk to you soon.
15 cars.